Hello, friends, fems, and family. Friends, fans, and family.
What's a
this
fem?
This is Disc Golf Comedy, the podcast. This is the Disc Golf Comedy podcast.
You are nailing this.
All right, well, one way or another, here we go.
Here we go.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Disc Golf Comedy Podcast. My name is Ray, and I am the co-host of this shebang. Thank you for the overwhelming response to episode one. We were more than whelmed with the response on Facebook, and just as we look at the numbers on the dashboard,
right?
The numbers don't lie, and the number was high.
Yeah, what were the numbers? Exactly.
It was right up there.
So, like,
I mean,
it was just right up there.
That's where it was. It was right up there.
I know where it was. What was it?
It was like almost 200.
It's pretty good.
Not bad.
It's definitely better than 100. And it reminds me a lot of my PDGA rating.
Yeah, they're basically the same number, 197 or something like that. So here we are into episode two. Once we complete this episode, we will have done twice as many podcasts as we had.
Wow.
So it's gonna take a while to double that number again. We're gonna have to do two more podcasts to double our number again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for the stats. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the numbers don't lie. That's what keep people coming back. You know, they wanna know about our analytics. You might also be interested to know we've got a great show for you, and I'm very surprised that we're even recording it right now. You want to tell the people what we've been doing?
Yeah. Well, besides the fact that it is 12:21 a.m. right now, this was not the plan. The plan was I was going to come over here at 8:30 yesterday at this point.
Right.
8:30 in the evening. And we were going to have a Zoom putting league with a couple other friends. I got here late. Tyler was even later because he's playing Fortnite with his other group of friends, which is probably just a total flex. He probably didn't even need to be late, but
I just wanted you to know
that right, I have other friends. Just wanted to show us that you're cool and have lots of friends. So he's late to something that's in his own house. And I, for the life of me, do not understand how you can be late to something.
It's hard to do
when you're already there, but he was, and we've been playing that for about 3-ish hours. We ended about 30 minutes ago, and Tyler's all, "Hey, you're already here," you know, in his stupid voice. "Hey, mate, you're already here. Let's just go record the podcast so we don't have to do that this weekend."
I'm trying to help you out.
And I said, "Yeah, great. That makes a ton of sense because everything makes sense after midnight." That's how I don't know where I'm going with that. So here we are, and it's taken like 20 minutes to set up. And now I'm thinking, why everything? Why coronavirus? Why am I here? Why are you Australian? Why do you have to wear the hat? You guys don't know this about Tyler, but he has to wear the hat, or else I don't know. It's like Frosty the Snowman. It doesn't work.
He's just
sitting here in his basement. It's in the middle of the night. You look like an idiot. And we're recording a podcast. That's easy for you to say. So yeah, that's what's happening. And now I think I can be professional now that I've said that and I am ready to go. Let's do it.
A podcast. It's podtastic. I don't know if that was like funny. There was a lot of depressing kind of mixed in with that. So once again, we took to Facebook to, you know, mine some talking points for the potty tonight.
And
we went to the debates group this time. Got a lot of good, healthy debates that honestly, a lot of these have two pretty logical sides. So I'm excited to kind of talk through some of these with you. We'll start off with an easy one. Should there be a disc limit? Yeah, I thought it's pretty interesting. This one was suggested by Armando de la Cierda. Wow. The C is capitalized.
D de la Sierra.
Like De La Viega or something. Armando de la Sierra.
I think it's De La Sierra. You got to get kind of Latin American with it, maybe.
Well, maybe.
Armando de la Sierra.
And as with a lot of things that you and I talk about, I'm not sure if that's like culturally, you know, sensitive or culturally insensitive. Like, is it racist or is it progressive? I don't even know. It's, to pronounce, to try.
I think it's so nice. Anyway, to-
Armando says, should there be a disc limit? And it's not like a new debate. I mean, it's something that's been talked about. Maybe it's new to you guys listening, but Ray, I'll let you go first. Do you think that?
Well, is it like majors or?
I don't know.
Is it like majors or all tournaments?
Could be either.
If it's all PDGA tournaments, I think it's a no. That's okay. Just my gut reaction to the question. If it's like every single PDGA sanctioned event, A tiers, B tiers, C tiers, X, C, they have all different levels of sanctioning. And if it's trying to make a rule for all of them, then no, I don't think that needs to happen at the lower levels. But if we're just talking about NTs and majors, then I think that's different.
I think we're on the same page about it, but I do want to hear why you don't think that we should, and maybe we should back up and say, like, what are we even
like talking? What is a disc limit?
Yeah. Tell everybody like what even the debate is.
So the thought is that disc golf being so similar to regular golf, and obviously we're trying to, you know, become our own thing. I feel like a lot of people balk at that comparison. However, the fact remains there's a lot of similarities between the two sports. And in regular golf, traditional golf, ball golf, whatever you want to say, you are limited to 14 clubs in your bag. At all tournaments, you could only have 14 clubs. And if you break a club, you can't replace it. I mean, like, there's a whole bunch of, they're pretty strict about it, you know, only 14.
Right.
So should a disc golfer be only allowed, say, 20 discs, 25, you know, whatever the number is.
Right.
Should they be forced to manage their inventory, so to speak, like a regular golfer would? And I kind of like that idea at the NTs and pros level, just because it kind of adds a different strategic element into it. It would definitely make it easier for some companies to build graphics, you know, to highlight what discs are in a player's bag.
That's interesting.
For each season or something like that. I hate the idea if we're going to start, you know, trying to track down every player who's in a C tier this Saturday, you know, which, sorry, rest in peace. No C tiers this Saturday. Yeah. Do not get excited. It was just a mad rush to the registry.
They said
website.
It was a C tier this Saturday.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Basically, right. Like, I think it would just be so much chaos and way more work than it's worth, because those guys, like, we don't need, and us included in those guys, we don't need to be so specific about our inventory, because we have just as much chance of throwing them all badly in the first place.
But that's,
just let those lower pressure events, excuse me, let those lower pressure events be lower pressure events. Let people have fun. Do not impose a bunch of silly, I think, stupid rules. Yeah. Like that one on them at that level.
I think that,
but maybe let's talk about it for the pros.
I think that that's probably where I agree with you on this. The last thing you said, where you talked about lower pressure events, I don't agree at all that just because people are bad, they should have less rules. You know, like, they should, I think that's part of what makes somebody better, you know, to play with the same rules that the pros play, you know, would actually advance somebody's game a bit faster than if they had no rules, right? So I don't agree with that part, but I do agree with, you know, the C tiers are meant to be kind of like an entry level tournament where people can get that sort of competition and get their feet wet, actually competing in something official without having, you know, to worry about all the pressure and intensity that comes with like an A tier or something. So I think I'm on the side of just don't do it at all in any tournament, because even pros and majors, I mean, it's probably something fun to talk about. And I've never heard anybody bring up the thing that you said about like how it might help post-production companies or the DGPT do like their graphics. Maybe they could do something cool if they knew that the players are only going to have 20 discs or something. That's not like a huge thing to me, but I do think that that's an interesting point. For me, the main thing is just like there's no advantage to having 35 discs over 25 discs that I can see. And there's practical limitations. I think that's the biggest thing. You just can't fit more than like 30 discs in a bag. And maybe you could on a cart, but pros just aren't going to want to carry more than like 25 or 30 discs in the first place. So it's just not really a problem. So I make a rule to regulate something when there's nothing that really needs to be regulated in the first place.
And I think we agree. I think it's just don't
make the rule.
Enact that rule. But I think it would be fun to talk about.
Yeah. All right. We're going to have our first ever commercial break now. So hang it. We'll be right back. Wow. What a great ad. Welcome back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Can I see the list?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I should get to pick the next one.
I think that's fair.
This one's fun. Okay. Pat LePage. What is with people in capitalizing their last names?
LePage.
Pat LePage with a capital P in LePage says, are you a pro if you paid the extra $10? That is the debate suggested by Monsieur LePage.
So I'll start out. The actual answer is very easy. It's yes. That's not what he's asking. He's referencing a problem that is kind of created because of that answer. So for those who don't know, the Professional Disc Golf Association, you can be a member of the PDGA as a amateur player for a certain amount of money every year, or you can sign up to be a professional member for $10 more. And there's so much I see this debate everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, just like what is the reason that we allow people at any skill level to just declare that they are a professional disc golfer? And shouldn't there be some sort of a qualifying, you know, like again, to reference regular golf, a traditional golf, there's a qualifying process that has to happen. You know, you have to prove that you're ready to be a pro. And in disc golf, you just have to pay an extra $10 a year and you're a pro.
Did you sign up as a pro?
I am not a pro. I am actually an amateur player.
Wow, that's crazy. I mean, you're so professional on the course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's stunning that you're not a pro yet.
Well, I haven't. It's just because I haven't found the extra $10. You know, it's not for lack of talent. It's just for lack of 10 extra bucks. So, yeah, the answer to Pat's question is yes, but the real debate is, should people at all talent levels be able to declare themselves as a professional? I do not think that they should be able to do that. I think that there should be some sort of I think the easiest thing to do would be to have a minimum required PDGA rating before you're allowed to become a pro. And maybe that's like 950 or something.
On MPO. Yeah, on MPO right. For sure. On FPO, that's way different because if you go down 10 spots on FPO, you're probably sub 950, like in the world rankings list, I mean.
It'd have to have a...
I see what you're saying.
You'd have to have a different number, obviously. But yeah, the point stands that you'd have to have a minimum required rating for your division to be able to declare yourself a pro.
And I like that. I think that sounds like a good system. It's another one of those things that like, I don't see that ever happening. I feel like the PDGA is a for-profit organization and it needs to make money. And that's a great way for it to make money.
Okay. So speaking of the PDGA making money, let's just shelve that one, that debate for now, because this ties in so perfectly to that one. Somebody else suggested the debate that's raging. This is not like a traditional debate. This is like a current events debate that's been going pretty strong for the last few weeks. Should the PDGA be refunding memberships? This one was suggested by Jacob Warden. But there was another one that said, I guess I didn't write it down. There was somebody else on Facebook that suggested that they should they be refunding or should they be extending people's memberships or offering some other, you know, compensation for the fact that there's no PDGA events right now. So there's no benefit to the player, you know, to the members that are paying into the organization. So what are your general, I'm sure you've seen that debate. What are your general thoughts about it right now?
My general thought is I just looked at the clock and it's like 12:30 a.m.
Right.
And why this is a comedy podcast and we have just turned into like two business professionals. We apparently are opposite. Most people become blubbering idiots and absolutely ridiculous as the night goes on. Apparently we start out that way.
We
in the
started
day,
that way.
And then we become two very astute, demure podcast hosts.
Oh, wow.
You know, in the wee hours of the morning. So just that's an observation for you. Congrats. Okay. What do I think about the PDGA refunding memberships? I think they should. I think that would be the quote unquote right thing to do. I don't think they can. I mean, I think it's a moot point. If you're asking like in a vacuum, what would be the quote unquote right thing to do? I think it would be refunding memberships if this thing goes on much longer. What I do think they have the ability to do and what I do think they should do is extending memberships. So for every month that they're not able to provide an event or sanction an event, they should be extending people's memberships that month into 2021.
Right.
And there's a lot of hate for this.
There's a lot of people
who feel like, that's so anti-disc golf and anti-grow the sport to say that they should extend the memberships because they're just trying and they're hit with this the same as everybody.
Right.
But that's not the question. I mean, the question is, what should the PDGA do? And if I'm on the PDGA's board, this is what I think this is what we should do. From there, the onus is on the players, the members, you know, what should PDGA members do? Because I think there's a counter argument, you know, that would suggest it would be the right thing for a member, PDGA member to do to decline that extension, you know, and to go ahead and renew again, January 1, 2021, or when, you know, whenever people do it different times of the year, but you know what I mean? Like, to grow the sport, to just let that money go into the PDGA and not expect, you know, that extension, that would be on us. But that's not the question. It's not a two-part deal. The question is, what should the PDGA do? That's what I feel like they should do.
Well, that was very well said. And I'm sure there are a handful of people out there who really appreciated your words on that. I was not one of them. I was not listening to any of them because I was thinking about what you said earlier about this being a comedy podcast and how it's just kind of devolved into a talk show just here after two episodes. And that really hit me hard.
Gotcha. Good.
So let's forget the serious conversation. And we've already been doing this over 15 minutes. So let's end with something light. Are you aware that several people out there think that you are me?
Yes. And I love this one because a couple people said that in the comments of the videos that we made together. And what the reason that I think this is hilarious is because I'm standing here. He's already lying. I'm not standing. I'm sitting here looking right at you right now. And I see my ridiculous
beautiful
hat.
Eyes.
And I think the question based on the last couple hours that I've spent with you is not who I am. I think people need to be a lot more concerned, including your family and loved ones, about who you are or whose you are, not like who possesses you, like
who I belong to.
Yeah, sorry. A little bit of a stretch.
So people are speculating that. And not like a ton of people, it's not like a new fake PDGA thing, which we totally blew the lid off of last week, by
totally
the way.
Totally exposed.
People are speculating that I recorded myself double, and I'm actually recording you right now.
Wow.
So which we can prove that that's not true, because let's each say our favorite color right now. Ready?
Okay.
One, two, three. Fuchsia.
Orange.
And see, and that settles it.
It does.
But the main thing that I want my fans to know, because I love every one of them, so I need them to know that I don't care about any of you enough to go to that kind of effort. Okay.
It's from the heart.
So I'm telling you that because I love you, that I don't give a crap about any of you enough to do that kind of work on a podcast. So that's why I had Ray, and I paid Ray in extra peanut M&M's packets. Actually, his contract is still pending.
Yeah, we have not discussed any sort of payment for this.
No, we'll get there. So anyway, yeah, no, it's not true. And Ray is one of my best friends. And to prove how much I value you as a person, would you like to take us out?
I would. All right, guys, thank you very much for listening to episode 2 of the Disc Golf Comedy Podcast. He's Tyler. I'm Ray. We're looking at each other with all 4 of our eyeballs right now. I don't really know how to explain it any other way than that. Please subscribe to this podcast. Bear in mind that he doesn't give a crap about you, but I do.
I didn't say that I didn't give a crap.
I love that outro song.